welcome to week two of our Technology and the Christian course seminar / podcast / vlog. Jai, welcome.
Hello.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thanks. it's starting to get cold up here in the loft, but I'm well.
I have the same issue, mate. My radiator, not only is it one radiator for a large loft, but it's also covered in washing. Should we crack on?
Yeah, let's do it.
Week two, phones and folly is the title we've given this. So looking at smartphones and some of the pros and cons and of smartphones and smart technology. Jai, I think you're going to kick us off.
Yeah. So, I think it's funny that we call them smartphones, that we still use the word phone, because, you know, how much of that time that we're using our phones, are we using it as a phone? But obviously smartphones came out of the mobile phone. And I think BlackBerry were one of the first to realize that they could put other functions into their phones, you know, once screens started getting bigger and that sort of thing. And then obviously the smartphone boom really started when Apple released the iPhone, didn't it? As tends to happen, Apple were kind of the not the first, but they're always the one that kicks off the boom. So smartphones as we think about them now, I guess really are very, very young, 13 years old, barely teenagers. But apparently 3.5 billion people, that's almost half the world, earn a smartphone. 84% in the UK, 84% of adults, that is. On average, we spend 2.5 hours on our smartphones every day, which is a significant chunk of our life. You know, if you take out sleeping and working, then a significant chunk of what is left we spend on our smartphones. I don't know if you can you relate to that statistic, Ben?
Oh, I can definitely relate to that. I do wonder how that stat's going to change, you know, once they take into, you know, the year that is 2020 and COVID, with everybody working from home. I wonder if that 2.5 hours will be, you know, somewhat nearer. I dread to think. Definitely. It soon racks up time. You know, 5 minutes can, you know, I'll just have a quick look at my phone. You know, you can get lost in the YouTube maze, and, you know, an hour and a half later, you're like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to eat or something. They're everywhere, aren't they? Smartphones.
Yeah, absolutely. And the trend is upwards, isn't it? Still.
Yeah. I think they reckon the next couple of years, I think it'll go, for the UK, it'll be over 90% of people, and basically younger people. Virtually all have smartphones. I think like the 18 to 24 category is like 99% have 18 to 24 year olds in the UK have a smartphone. And our worlds just operate around them now. You've only got to look at the track and trace app. You know, how do you get track and trace working, or try to get it working? I guess, well, make an app for it, because everybody's got a phone.
Even your bank cards and stuff. It's like, kind of have everything you need.
You don't even need a bank card now, do you? You just have an app. I think one of the big sort of indicators of this is now that you don't have public telephone boxes anymore. You have public charging points where you can go and plug your phone in. A paperless world, that's driven by the fact that everybody's got smartphones. I mean, obviously the environmental concerns, but it's possible because everybody's got a smartphone. So massive, massive part of our lives. Let's think about smartphones together. Let's think about their design. I think that's a good place to start. Last week we talked about the fact that technology is neutral, but humans are decidedly not neutral, and therefore anything that humans are involved in is going to have biases and designs, and, you know, and in a sense we're made like that, aren't we? We're made by a God who designs us, and therefore we are made to be like him, and when we design and create and You know, we put ourselves into it. And so whilst technology might be neutral, human influence behind it is definitely not. And so when we look at phones, we should be have our eyes open to the fact that phones, in a sense, are seeking to produce a certain response in us. So phone companies, app companies, they want us to consume what they've produced. They want us to be buyers of their products, and they want us to be visiting their sites as much as possible. A lot of apps, for example, you know, well, they get their money, they're free apps, but they get their money from advertising. You know, think of big social media, Facebook, for example. You know, they get all their money, their value, from the fact that people can advertise on their sites and reach billions of people. And so the more that we are on Facebook, for example, the more money they can charge for advertising, the more money they make. And so when it comes to phones, they are designed to drag us in. They're designed to keep us looking at phones, because that's how these companies make money. And yeah, they know that we as humans are absolutely susceptible to that. There's one author, a guy called John Mark Comer. He describes phones as dopamine dispensers. You know, this the hooked up on the drug and the little hits of happiness. You know, dopamine, the happiness, was it chemical? Yeah, the release of dopamine. That's what we talk about, don't we? In our brains, when we have something that we like, when we do something or see something, and yeah. Comer describes phones as dopamine dispensers, and they give us that hit, that buzz, with virtually no effort. Hit a button, get pleasure. I guess I was going to ask you this question, Jai. What's, you know, when you go to get your phone out of your pocket, and you know, do you have a finger scanner, or you still put
usually the finger scanner if it works. Yeah, and then I'm straight into web browser. I either type an F to go on Facebook, or I type a B to go on BBC. And, you know, all I have to type is the F or the B, and it's there. I deleted those apps so that I wouldn't go on them as much, but it's just as easy to fire up a browser and get to them.
Oh, I know, totally. I've also deleted Twitter. So Twitter's my social media hit. And so I was like, I'll delete the app, that'll help. And then, no, you can just, you know, log in on the browser. So, okay, internet browser, up comes Twitter. We all have them, yeah. Don't we? That default thing that we go to on our phones. And we want to be, we want to be distracted. You know, we do that because it's, you know, it brings pleasure. And it's fun and it's interesting, and you know, whatever it is for each of us, but we do want to be distracted. For some people, that's because we're procrastinators. I definitely put myself in that category, a default procrastinator. Something that's easier and quicker is, you know, I'm easily distracted by, rather than doing stuff that's important. But I think there's something wider than that. In that, as humans, we want to be distracted, because having to stop and think, being by ourselves, sometimes causes us to ask questions that we don't want to ask, or reveals truths about who we really are, and distraction just can take away from that. And because of phones, we can be distracted, you know, every minute of every waking hour. The French philosopher Blaise Pascal once said, right about 400 years ago, he said, I've discovered that all the unhappiness of men arises from one single fact, that they cannot stay quietly in their own chamber. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've discovered that all the unhappiness of men arises from one single fact, that they cannot stay quietly in their own chamber. And I think Pascal hits on something there. We're not good at being alone with our own thoughts. And phones absolutely help us to never be alone with our own thoughts. You know, we can log on to social media and get the thoughts of, you know, hundreds of other people, if not thousands. We can, you know, go on the websites that are constantly updating with new news from all around the world. We can play on games that are constantly updating, adding levels. We can do everything to avoid being on our own with our own thoughts. We can watch, speak, listen to a limitless number of conversations. And yeah, that can be my experience on any given day. And that can be from the first thing in the morning as well. That's the other thing about smartphones, that you don't even have to, you know, go and log on to a computer anymore. They're just there. They're with you all the time.
Especially if you use them as your alarm as well. You have to go and touch them to switch off the alarm. And then, and then you're in.
And they're just so small, aren't they? You know, they are literally the most portable device. Stick it in your pocket. There's a sense in which we can go through life now and never be by ourselves. And to do that, we don't even have to be physically with another person, which is quite a scary thought. There's a guy called Peter Kreeft, another philosopher, theologian, more modern guy. He's still alive. And he sort of builds on Pascal's idea, and he writes this. He says, we run away like conscientious little bugs, scared rabbits, dancing attendants on our machines, our slaves, our masters, clicking, scrolling, tapping, liking, sharing, anything. We think we want peace and silence and freedom and leisure, but deep down we know that this would be unendurable to us. In fact, we want to complexify our lives. We don't have to, we want to. We want to be harried and hassled and busy. Unconsciously, we want the very thing we complain about. For if we had leisure, we would look at ourselves and listen to our hearts and see the great gaping hole in our hearts and be terrified, because that hole is so big that nothing but God can fill it.
Well.
I wonder if we were to ask, you know, our listeners, viewers, when was the last time you weren't with your smartphone? When was the last time you had, a day of no smartphone? I wonder what we would think about, where we would get to if we just unplugged. I think Kreeft's quote, I think it's helpful when he talks about busyness. We want to be busy, you know. And I think all the times that we respond to, you know, oh, how you doing? Oh, busy, you know. And just, is it playing into something about humanity? And I think it is. That we want to be distracted, that we don't examine, you know, ourselves. And Kreeft says, and we don't examine the realities of God.
It's interesting. He says we think we want one thing, the sort of peace and silence, but actually, you know, deep down, unconsciously, we don't really want that. That's one of the kind of, I don't know, do you call it a paradox of smartphones? Like, the, you know, we want to do it because of that dopamine hit, because of that short term, pleasure that it gives us. But we know that it doesn't make us happy, generally speaking.
So I think we just, I guess the headline from that is we need to be aware that our phones are designed to keep us on them. But also we need to be aware that, you know, we probably default to wanting to be distracted, so that we don't examine some of these bigger things in life. But lest we get too negative, there are many benefits to smartphones. Smartphones are great, aren't they, Jai?
Absolutely. There's lots of good things about them. As we've already said, it kind of combines the functions of a lot of different things into one sort of small portable device. So yeah, you've got your phone there. Which is, you know, it's great to have a phone available, that, you know, not just at home, but when you're out and about. And especially if you've kind of got teenagers, I guess, it's good to be able to know kind of where they are and know that they can call for help if they need it.
Yeah, it's nuts to think back to a time before mobile phones, isn't it? Yeah, I think as a kid or a teenager, you know, heading out of the house, summer holidays, you know, just go out first thing in the morning and I'd be out for all day, you know, playing football and, you know, knocking around on my bike on the streets, and my mum would have had no idea where I was, but wasn't worried about it because she wasn't expecting to hear from me.
So anyway, as we said, smartphone is a phone, which is great, but also it is lots of other things, you know. A lot of smartphones have very good cameras now, better than, you know, the best sort of general ones available 10 years ago, general cameras. It's your watch, it's your wallet. For me, I love being able to be more productive with my phone. You know, it's my calendar and it's my to-do list. I can sort of do all those things on the go. I don't need to carry around a big sort of book, you know, hardback sort of moleskin thing with me. And because everything's synced to the cloud, even if I lose my phone, it's all still there. I've not lost anything, which is great. Connectivity as well. It just means you can be in touch with people. Especially now, like a lot of my family, I've not seen them, or I've seen them very little in the last year. So just to be able to call and text and know what's going on is great. This is a two-edged sword as well, but I kind of talked about going on BBC News, but we can know about what's going on in the world. That can help us to pray about it and to kind of support, you know, different sort of relief efforts and lobby our MPs and all that kind of thing. And that would have been such a sort of slow process in the past. There are benefits to it being sped up.
It is amazing, isn't it? You know, something can happen on the other side of the world, and within, you know, a few minutes, say it's an earthquake or something, you know, within a few minutes you can be aware of that, and then you can have given money to a charitable organisation that, you know, is, you know, basically instantly accessible for them to start helping. That's amazing. Yeah, you know, wherever you are.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the earthquake thing. I saw a little comic recently, and I think it was based on fact that basically there have been earthquakes where people have tweeted, they've seen a tweet about the earthquake from people at the epicenter before it's reached them, actually in advance of. I would recommend fact checking that before you tell other people, but.
Yeah, they are. They're amazing. And as Christians, you know, there are lots of Christian benefits to smartphones. I think on my phone, there's an organization called the Joshua Project. And every day they're about unreached people groups. So parts of the world and people who do not have a witness. We don't have any Christians or very few. And so at 10 a.m. every morning, my phone sends up a little notification. This is the unreached people group of the day. And, you know, I can just pray then for those people groups who I've never met and maybe never will meet. But at the very least, I've suddenly become aware of them. There's a little bit of information about who they are and their history and how they work and what, and then some prayer points. And there it is. I can be praying for them. And the Bible tells us that the prayers are effective. God hears and answers prayer. That's the first one that comes to my mind, you know. And that can be wherever I am, you know, whether I'm at home, in the office, or, you know, anywhere. I'm just suddenly connected with people, and I can pray for people. One of the most well-known apps is PrayerMate.
Yeah, I have. Used it for quite a long time. I've met the developer of PrayerMate couple of years ago. Beckham. Very sort of narrow scope. Christian. The Christian developer community is fairly small. So, Premiere is great. I kind of use it on and off, really. I'll use it for a few months and then I'll kind of try something different. But it allows you to create different lists of people to pray for. So I might have a list of family members, a different list of church members, a list of sort of things to be praying for in the world, and those kinds of things. And then every day it will choose a selection of those. You can kind of tell it how many you want to see in that particular prayer session, whether it's five or six or just one or whatever. And then as you kind of swipe in through, it'll show you the any kind of prayer points that you've listed. You can subscribe to I guess similar to the Joshua Project, you can subscribe to like Open Doors or there's tons of charities that have, and churches as well, that have their own prayer feeds that just go right into the app. So that's a good one to look for. I know we're in the we're in the positive section, but there's always a danger in praying using your phone. I'd recommend putting your phone on airplane mode before you fire up PrayerMate. Top tip for you.
Yeah, and we can talk about all sorts of different ways in which as believers, that the smartphone technology, stuff like Google Maps, generally is true for everybody, but allows us to go and visit anybody easily. Emails on our phones means that we can be out and about. I think as a pastor, to be able to be contactable by people in church and to be able to contact people with prayer requests or just checking up on how things are going, that's so much easier because of a smartphone. For me, podcasts. There are so many good Christian podcasts, whether that's sermons or discussions, topical discussions like this. Maybe one day it'll be me and you, Josh, that people listen to on their phones. Maybe.
Maybe not.
But there are some brilliant ones, and just aimed at different things. I listened to one which is called 5 Minutes in Church History. Literally a 5 minute listen on a person or place or an event in the history of the church, and it's just encouraging. Here's what God's done in a different place, in a different time. Same God. We could list off loads, and maybe we'll come back to that at the end. Just give some recommendations. But I think it's fair to say, I think for most of us who've got smartphones, we don't need convincing that there are lots and lots of benefits. Yeah, to put a headline on it, smartphones make things simpler, and smartphones make things easier in a lot of ways, and smartphones make things quicker. I think that's a fair summary.
Yeah, I think so.
Happy with that? Yeah. In agreement. Good. Here's where it's worth saying: easier and simpler and quicker is not always better. There are consequences to. Ultimately, there are consequences to speed. So just like when you're driving a car, if you drive faster, you're going to get to where you're going quicker, but you're going to have less time to react to a corner being sharper than you think, or if somebody steps out into the road in front of you, you've got less time to react if you're going quicker. And similarly, there are consequences, unintended, I think, often consequences of the speed and ease of smartphones. And it's good for us just to think a little bit about that. What are some of the unintended consequences of smartphones and smartphone usage? We've talked a little bit about how they can be a distraction, and the design of them and how we want to be distracted. In the book, we mentioned it last week, by Tony Reinke, 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. He says this: here's the warning. As Christians, if we fail to manage life's distractions wisely, we will lose our urgency And in the sobering words of one smartphone addicted mum of young children, we may forget how to walk with the Lord. Yeah, we may forget how to walk with the Lord. We're so distracted that we forget how to know God and to walk with Him. And I think it's instructive at that point. I was just thinking about it just then. You know, Jesus models this to us, doesn't he? He gets away from distractions. Okay, so Jesus didn't have a smartphone, time and time again in the Gospels, we see Jesus goes away by himself early in the morning, often, or through the night. He goes away to pray, spend time with the Father. And we need to think about how we are distracted, but also to think about the ways that some of the good things about smartphones can subtly shape us and our relationships. So one of the good things about, again, about phones is the ease with which we can just drop people a message or a WhatsApp, just saying, you know, how you doing? You know, you can do that contact, catch up with people. How you doing? How's things? That's great. But it's so easy. It means that we might just do that and we might stop seeing people. We might stop be less likely to pop in and see somebody in person. Less likely to pop in and have a cup of tea and spend, you know, a bit more time with people. And there is something in there about, you know, looking somebody in the eye and asking them a question, you know, how you doing? You know, and you can, when you're responding to that message, you know, that WhatsApp message, you can respond to that in, what, 10 seconds, 5 seconds? Yeah, I'm all right. Now, of course, you can do that in person. So a smartphone doesn't change that. But there's something when you're sat down with somebody, or when we're seeing people, you know, physically, you can sometimes see when people are brushing you off. You can sometimes see that, you know, just the physical realities of how somebody's looking or feeling when they respond to you.
I think body language is, you know, such a big part of communication, isn't it? I want to give you a percentage, but I'd be lying and making it up if I did. But it's yeah,
fact check.
But it's a huge amount, and you know, you say you can reply in 5 or 10 seconds. You can do, or you can spend a few minutes trying to craft the perfect response, and you just can't do that, you know, in person. You can try and lie and hide things, but like you say, that's much more difficult to do in person.
But we are created as physical people, and we are meant to react, interact physically. But for that flesh and blood interaction. So technology is great, but we can miss out on it can just cause us to miss out on things and some of the fullness of human interaction.
Yeah. I think in all these things, like one of the important things that I think we both want to get across is that it's about being discerning, isn't it, about our use of our phone, not letting our phone, you know, determine how we interact with people or how we sort of live our lives, but making use of the good that our phone can do. So kind of making sure that relationship is the right way around. I think Renke talks about sort of, you know, mastering our phones, not letting it be our master.
And maybe, you know, in God's providence, actually the whole COVID pandemic lockdown, one of the things that's helped us see is the importance of physically being with people. You know, and seeing, you know, just the church online is not church as it ought to be. And I think even if we haven't said that out loud, I think a lot of us have felt that, you know, and the importance of being with people. And having those, you know, conversations over, you know, cake and tea beforehand and lingering afterwards. It's we might not have been able to say beforehand that, you know, physically being there was important or why it was important, but we felt the absence of it. One of the other maybe unintended consequences of smartphones is the way that we get information is shaping us. So using a phone often means that we get information in small and easily digestible doses. So 280 characters on Twitter, you know, they've doubled that from 140, but you know, it's still pretty small. A sentence or two on a Facebook post. You know, even the revolving news feeds, you know, that pop up on your phone. You know, here's a headline. And so we get everything in short, sharp blasts. That's conditioning us. That's become our diet for learning. And it's become the way and the conditions that we have for our attention span. This is normal. If this is all you get, this is what you become used to it. If you eat chips every day for tea, you know, your body gets used to and expects chips for tea every day. And similarly, we have become a people, a society of smartphone users where everything is immediate and easy and short and often pretty. I kind of chuck that in as well. That's the Instagram thing, isn't it? You know, everything's pretty. But that conditions us in a way to that we're not used to things that are the opposite of that. We're not used to having to take time to read something. We're not used to reading things that are longer. We automatically think easier is better, quicker is better. And so we find it harder now to read books as opposed to, you know, maybe blog posts. I don't know. Maybe you can think of some other examples. I think that would certainly be true for me. It's more of an effort now to read, and I love reading. But even just that starting, the idea of, okay, I'm going to sit down with a book. That first step, it feels harder now than it ever has. Would you recognise that?
Yeah, definitely. I think I would say as well that it happens quite quickly, but it can also be like reversed quite quickly as well. I've found that often, you know, just a couple of weeks where I spend more time flicking through Facebook and headlines on BBC News makes it much more difficult to pick up a book. But then, you know, the other way, a couple of weeks where I decide, no, I'm going to put the phone away and read, you know, you get back into it.
Let's think about how that affects us as Christians. And I guess the obvious ways when it comes to, yeah, I guess specifically thinking of reading, when it comes to reading the Bible, how we take in information via our phones probably shapes how we approach the Bible. The Bible's full of commands to read and to meditate and to think upon. The Bible's amazing, but it's not Twitter, is it? I say that the Book of Proverbs is kind of like Twitter, but the rest of it takes often. the rest of it takes, you know, more effort. In some parts more than others. But we are called to be, you know, to love God's word. To think upon it, to obey it, to know it, to hide it in our hearts. Psalm 119, let me read a bit of that to you. Not all of it. That'd be a very long podcast. It says 97, verses 97 to 99. How I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. That's just one example from Psalm 119. That, you know, again and again, the psalmist there says that he models to us, you know, the commitment to God's word. I think, you know, we've got to be aware that the way our smartphones are conditioning us means that we're going to have to work harder to meditate on God's word. That's going to feel like a bigger step, but it's the way of wisdom. It's the way of life.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, when was the last time I saw a tweet or a Facebook post that I meditated on all day long? Or when we used to things being just sort of here and gone, in and out.
Yeah.
Snapchat comes to mind. Like it's there, and then seconds later it's gone forever. Whereas the Bible requires of us more than that.
Yeah, and it's worth it. That's the overwhelming sense of Psalm 119. It's not just some guys just like, hey, look at me, I know the Bible, I'm better than all you, flimsy Christians. The whole thrust of it is that like life is so much better because he knows God more. Because he knows God's word. And he's thrilled with that. He's overflowing with the joy of that. Using smartphones is going to be we're going to have to be deliberate in coming to God's word. And I guess especially some parts of it. Some of those Old Testament prophets that you've got to work through. You've got to get a sense of, and you've got to linger on. Okay. We've talked quite a bit there. Let's finish off with some practical tips, things that we've learned over our years of smartphone usage. Let me start. I think I've already hinted at this. This is something I've massively struggled with. I find my phone so addictive. And it's not just one thing. I think Twitter especially, that those constant updates with news and takes and opinions. I can wake up in the morning and I've got 8 hours of opinions from, people that I follow in the States to catch up on. And it's just constantly updating. You could be on it all day and just constantly getting the next thing. I've benefited so much from stuff that people have shared on Twitter, had great conversations, been able to talk about different topics, some spiritual, and some more to do with sport and less important things. I struggle with this, and try different things to help. And I guess it, in a sense, I kind of just want to say, hey, I'm very much a beginner in this. I'm not coming with any practical advice, which I'm saying that I've sorted this. Jai, on the other hand, you've got this sorted. Is that right?
I wish. Yeah. Very similar for me. I came off Twitter a couple of years ago because that was. That was just me, there's always something new to see. So very much still wrestling, still trying to work out how to sort that out. Shall I get into some practical kind of tips?
Yeah, well, before you do, I sort of sum this up. The biggest tip is two words, and it's know yourself. You've got to, each of us has got to know what we're like, what are the things in our hearts, the inner working of our hearts, prayerfully ask God to show us the reality of our behavior. What are the things that we're searching for? What are the things that we are are we people who are constantly searching for distraction because we want to avoid the big questions? Are we people who, are we kidding ourselves about the state of our spiritual lives? A quick look at a Bible verse, that flashed up on my phone. Oh yeah, I've read the Bible today. You just got to be honest. You got to know yourself. And with God's help, God's very much on our side in this. His salvation plan is to fully reshape us and renew us. Fully, to be new creations, and so God's absolutely on board with a plan to show us the reality of our hearts and lives, and more than that, to change us. So, yeah, in light of that, how what have you learnt, Jai? Got to start us off.
Yeah, sure. So, I think like we were saying before, it's there's like a positive aspect of let's use our smartphones in a kind of purposeful way, like to being discerning about what we're doing with them, rather than them just sort of being there and us kind of picking them up and letting them dictate to us, you know, how we should spend our time. I think that there's another quote in Renke's book that he basically says what is this doing to serve my aims? Like, what are my goals in life, and how is this kind of serving that? Which I think is a good general sort of principle to keep in mind as we're thinking about these things. I think the other thing is, obviously, any practical tips that I give are going to be quite personal to me, and it may not be your kind of exact struggles. And at the end of the day, they are practical tips that are not going to change your heart. But I think things that I've just found helpful. And I there's quite a good sort of way of thinking about, I guess we can maybe see it as like a bad habit. So sometimes our smartphone usage, and there's a helpful paradigm in sort of habit building and habit avoidance, that to build a habit, you need to make it obvious, easy, attractive and satisfying. So like how do we do the opposite of that with our smartphones? So I'll just give you a couple of things. So in terms of it being obvious, to stop it being obvious, we need to shut it up. So for me, that means that I've got all of my notifications switched off, basically. Phone calls will still come through, but text messages, WhatsApp and stuff will come through silently, apart from Hannah. Hannah gets a little ping, because usually it's important if she's messaging me. Everything else is switched off. I don't get notifications about my email. You know, I try and check that a couple of times a day. I don't get it constantly firing away at me. When I install a new app, switch off notifications is pretty much the first thing I do. So that's a good thing to do. And sometimes it might be the case that to shut our phones up, we need to put it away. We need to, like, you know, if it's just there on the arm of the chair, we're going to pick it up and use it. So maybe there are times in your day where you should be putting it in a drawer or in a cupboard or, you know, something like that. That's kind of making it less obvious. In terms of making it less easy, more difficult, this is a bit of a weird one. So my phone's got focus mode, and I think most smartphones probably come with it now, where you can say, these are my distracting apps, and between this time and this time, I'm not allowed to go on those apps. And basically it grays out the icon of the app, and that's fantastic. And I use that in a morning to basically stop me, you know, when I switch off my alarm, it's supposed to stop me going on those apps. The problem is there's a little notification that says, take a break from focus mode. And it's so easy to just click that button. And, you know, and I can just keep clicking five more minutes. And so it adds a little bit of, a little bit of friction that might make me just stop and think. Focus mode, recommend that. Another one is gray screen. Have you come across this? So you can set it so that I think about half an hour every night, my phone goes into black and white mode.
Okay.
So this is to make it less attractive. You get a smaller, you know, less of a dopamine hit, because it's not all bright and colourful. Again, it's not a silver bullet, but it's just something that makes you sort of think twice.
Yeah.
The last one is limiting, as far as you can, sort of limiting what an app is going to show you. So in terms of Facebook, I basically unfollowed most, unliked most of the groups that I was on, unliked most of the brands, and unfollowed a lot of people that really, I never speak to them, haven't spoken to them since I was in school or whatever. And quite often, if I'm on Facebook, it will say, you've reached the end of your newsfeed. I'm like, wow, that is, you know, I'm there. There's no more content for me to see.
Yeah.
I think that can be more difficult on some apps. That's why I got rid of Twitter completely, because if you unfollow everyone on Twitter, it will say, we think you might like this tweet. And the same with like YouTube and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I've kind of rambled on for quite a bit there, but those are just a few practical things that sort of, yeah, trying to make your phone less obvious, less, you know, more difficult to actually get that.
Yeah.
Get that hit and less attractive. It's hard to make it less satisfying because, like you say, they do give us that little shot of dopamine. Yeah, some things to think about.
Mate, that's so helpful. And even just those categories, I'm thinking about some of the things that I've done. And whilst not, I've been thinking about those categories. That's exactly what they definitely fall into that. I think there's probably a whole other podcast when it comes to phones and and phones and the stuff that we watch on phones and whether it's helpful, devices, because and thinking about pornography and lust, maybe we'll come back to that here if we get renewed for season two, it's we've tried a phone box, to put my phone box, phone in the box as I come in the door. Yeah, and I think a lot of my thinking about this has been shaped by having kids, and seeing the impact that my phone usage has on our kids. The kids see that if you've got a phone in your hand all the time, and they want to be like it. And I've read a couple of books that have got some really helpful tips. I'll hold them up to the screen. Raising Kids in a Screen Saturated World. That's a tiny little book, but helpful to think about. And then this one, the Tech-Wise Family by Andy Crouch. He's got 10, the shape of the book is 10 commitments that they had as a family when it came to screens and devices. And one of the ones that we are designed for a rhythm of work and rest. So 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, and 1 week a year, we turn off our devices and worship, feast, play, and rest together. And that idea of having set times where you just turn the phone off, a day a week, an hour a week, an hour a day a week, a week a year. And whilst I certainly haven't kept to those every day, every week, I've certainly tried and found it so beneficial. And the other thing for me is that turning the internet off, so putting our internet on a timer so that at 10 o'clock at night the internet goes down, again, that often is sometimes I'll just be on my phone and then the internet will go off and it's like, okay, yeah, good, need to go to bed now. Jai, that's been so helpful, mate. Have a good week. We'll see you next week as we think about the social media shark tank. So the Christian and social media. Thanks for listening or watching, and we'll see you soon.